Ah, yes, now you are listening to the Metal Hammer of Doom. I am your host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Rattledge. And as you probably guessed by listening to our special theme for the evening, which is the Simpsons theme, as done, as covered by Leo, who you can find on YouTube or on Spotify or wherever you listen to music, like AmazonMusic.com, which we'll talk about in a little while. We are doing yet another Simpsons-inspired metal band. And you might be thinking, how many of these fucking bands are there? There's a bunch. We've done Oakley Dokley, and if that's not in the archives, it soon will be. Tonight is another Simpsons-inspired metal band. This is Dr. Colossus, an Australian rock metal band from Melbourne, Australia. The band mixed doom metal with lyrical references to episodes of The Simpsons. And in May of 2021, the band released their second studio album, which we'll be talking about tonight. And that album is... May 22nd, by the way, was the drop date. The name of the album: I Am a Stupid Moron with an Ugly Face and a Big Butt, and My Butt Smells, and I Like to Kiss My Own Butt. And I can't do this show alone. I have to bring on a Simpsons expert extraordinaire, a Simpsons enthusiast, if you will, a fellow metal fan and stand-in for Jesse Starcher, who is a stand-in for Robert Cooper. We love you, Coop, wherever you may be. Ladies and gentlemen, Robert Winfrey, how do you do, sir?
Well, I'm the closest thing to a Simpsons enthusiast you could get, at least.
You're my favorite Simpsons enthusiast. Don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise.
You have just hurt the feelings of Benjamin J. Colon.
I mean, what has Benjamin J. Colon done for me lately?
I mean, I'm pretty sure you still have artwork hanging up in your house.
And it's all lovely. But I've asked him for more artwork, and I haven't gotten any of it, so, you know.
Have you paid him for any of it? You paid him yet?
Why is everyone expecting me to pay them from the vast riches this endeavor has wrought upon us?
Well, look, you want art from Ben, you pay for it. The man's talented. You want me to talk, I'm free, because I'm not.
I pay in comic books. How you doing tonight?
One of those days. How good can it possibly be going to the dentist? I don't mean to get off on a tangent, but there is no such thing as a good visit to the dentist. You never get good news from the dentist. There's only two kinds of news.
Is your dentist like Steve Martin from Little Shop of Horrors? You'll be a dentist. You'll be a success. Robert Winfrey, say ah.
Look, there's only two types of news you get from the dentist. Bad news or stable news. They either have to fix something or nothing's actively wrong. See you in 6 months.
Right.
It's never good. It's never good. I almost resent how cheerful they are. You know that? Almost. But I understand it's a coping mechanism from them having to deal with people, so.
I don't know. I've gone to my orthopedic dentist because of my broken jaw now. Every couple of weeks since March-ish. And it's a lot of conversation, but other than sending me out for further tests, he hasn't actually done anything, and I can't get the man to even look in my mouth for more than a few seconds. So, we have different problems.
That's very true.
So anyway, back to Dr. Colossus, which is why people tuned into this podcast. Before I hipped you to them, or hipped you to the fact that we were doing this podcast, did you know who they were? Is this the first time you'd heard of them?
Yeah, this would be a first.
Okay. And you're on because I asked you to, and you know, I found
correct.
Something that there would at least be an ancillary interest in.
Yeah, you're more or less correct about that.
Now, we've had you on for previous Metal Hammer of Dooms before. We've had you on for Nightwish. Actually, one of the best episodes we've ever done was one that you hosted, mostly because I don't think anyone could hear me. But that was, in fact, a Nightwish album review. We had you on for, I think, Sabaton at one point.
I've done a few different Sabatons.
Yeah.
One or two Nightwishes.
Speaking of which, did you see Sabatons on tour with Judas Priest?
I did not, but that sounds like a great show that I'm sure will be nowhere near me, and I will be unable to attend.
I'm going to look for you, but you keep going.
All right. That sounds like a great show, actually. That's pretty cool. I was not familiar with this particular band, but given the prolific nature of The Simpsons, it's not surprising to me at all that various creative types across various different forms of media find inspiration in them and do funny stuff. So having a quasi-death metal band that draws inspiration from Simpsons lines, sure. Add it to the list.
All right, so Sabaton and Judas Priest are playing at the West Valley in West Valley City, Utah, at the Maverick Center on September 30th.
Yeah. I will have to look into that then if they're actually coming through.
Yeah, man, you should absolutely go if you have the opportunity.
And find out just how much I can't afford tickets. But I will at least look.
Let's see how much tickets haven't gone on sale yet. It still just says notify me.
Of course not. Well, look, they won't go on sale for a while, and then there's a non-trip. Have I told you the story? I don't get to a whole lot of concerts for a variety of reasons, but...
Yeah, I was half expecting you to say, I'm not going to no stupid concert, I ain't leaving the house.
But one of the ones I went to was supposed to be... the Scorpions' final Sting tour a couple of years ago. They were supposed to be... not the opening gig, but the second one was supposed to be Queensryche.
Ooh.
Well, apparently the day before something, there was a giant fight amongst the band members, so the lead singer and a group of local acoustic musicians showed up and did a 40-minute set.
Oh my.
Like, there is no luck when it comes to shows coming through Utah. None. It's just terrible. Something goes wrong. Some band kind of breaks up. There's a fight. What was the one? One of the few bands that actually goes out of their way to come here, believe it or not, is Metallica. Metallica, anytime they tour, or if they're a part of a larger tour, mm-hmm. they go out of their way, even if that like when they were part of Ozfest, you know, years ago. Ozfest wasn't coming through Salt Lake, but on one of the days they were around here, but not, they grabbed, I think, like Puddle of Mud and said, let's go play Salt Lake, and they did.
That's awesome. So, like, doom metal, stoner metal, particularly fancy at all?
Not really. Okay. There's elements of it symphonically that I appreciate, and some of it that... Stoner metal, not so much. Doom metal... There's elements of it that tickle my fancy, but it's the wrong kinds of elements in the wrong order to really kind of drag me in all the way, which might sound like I'm going to dump on this album. That's not the case, but this is not my preferred genre.
So when they announced a couple of months ago that Bongzilla was putting out an album, I got really excited, not because I had ever heard Bongzilla before, but that's such a great name for a band. I got obsessed with it like I tend to do with things. And we threw it on the schedule, and we did it, and I think The Last Metal Hammer of Doom, we did a whole deep dive into Bongzilla, the new album. We played an EP of theirs, and then we played a whole bunch of other stoner rock. And Jesse and I have talked at length about our love for stoner metal. Doom metal being an entirely different thing, I'm not particularly fond of. So I almost wasn't looking forward to this. I was like, and here's why. So I was super excited about the idea of a band like Bongzilla playing a stoner metal about marijuana. I'm like, this sounds amazing. Then I heard it and I'm like, oh, this is not, this is not as good as I wanted it to be. We had a fun time. I always have a fun time with Jesse. And, and Bongzilla was not all bad. It just, I heard those vocals, and I'm like, well, this didn't work out nearly as well as I wanted it to. And I'm like, okay. And so I see the... A lot of the times I get inspired by what I read on either Blabbermouth or Metal Injection. And so Metal Injection did an article about Dr. Colossus. And I was like, oh my god, this sounds amazing. No, wait, been burned one too many times by silly band names that don't sound good. So I'm like, we're going to do it because I can't not do a Simpsons-inspired doom metal band called Dr. Colossus putting out a new album called I'm a Stupid Moron with an Ugly Face and a Big Butt, and My Butt Smells, and I like to kiss my own butt. I just can't. I can't ignore this. God damn it. So we have to do it. But there was a part of me that was like, this is just going to end up like Bongzilla. Metal is going to hurt me once again. I'm going to be left disappointed. But I have to tell you, Robert Winfrey, I listened to it, and I did post about it. I did my social mediaing about it, and you bullied me about it on Twitter, as you're wont to do whenever you're in the mood to do so.
Well, whenever you're... The thing about Twitter, whenever your idiosyncrasies manifest on Twitter, I can't help but poke.
I know! I picture you in a tree, perched, like Batman. And, like, Mark's tweeted something, and you pounce on it like Tigger.
There's so much that you tweet that I don't. So much. But on occasion, especially when it's an issue that you yourself are freely acknowledge you have, that I have to say on occasion. So for those of you who don't know, Mark tweeted out about one of the songs that we'll get to. This is my new... This song, you know, kicks ass. It's my favorite song of the year. My response was, Mark, we both know your favorite status is determined as much by recency as anything else.
Yep.
And you know that's true. You're the one who told me this about yourself.
I am Peter Griffin. This is my new favorite thing, and I have a favorite thing of the week until I'm distracted by something else. I really do. I love this album, and I especially love that song, which we'll talk about momentarily. So we're going to play two songs at a time.
Seven, and you threw an extra one on there for kicks.
Yep. Kick to kill, baby. We're going to do the entire seven-song album, plus they did a non-album single about Todd and Rod not wanting to go to church called 66 and 6, so to make it an even eight. So we'll play two songs at a time. You know, like we do here on the Metal Hammer of Doom, we like to do two or three songs at a time to kind of move through the album quickly. That's what we're going to do. We'll do two songs, and then we'll close it out. But just kind of going into this, like I said, I was pleasantly surprised by this album, and I am anxious to play some songs and talk about it with you. Here we go. The first two songs are Sex Cauldron and Pick a Bar.
Yeah.
Just what the hell is Picker Bar, Robert Winfrey?
Well, you want to start there or you want to start with Sex Cauldron?
We should probably start with Sex Cauldron because one comes before two.
That is true. All right. So, Sex Cauldron in this... this song is actually sung from the perspective of Krusty the Clown. If you listen to him talk about the scar on his chest and whatnot, that's a reference to his pacemaker. And I believe there's a lyrical reference to his third nipple. I'd have to double check that. The line in question, you know, the Sex Cauldron gag, comes from a fairly well-regarded episode, Season 8, Episode 19, Grade School Confidential. This episode is the one where Skinner and Mrs. Krabappel get together. Then Skinner's kind of fired for fraternizing with... they make Bart their go-between. They take over the school. There's a whole standoff, etc. It's a great episode. What we have here, near the end, Skinner and Krabappel go out on the steps, and Skinner pretends to have a bomb strapped to himself. It's just hot dogs taped up instead of dynamite. And he says, "We demand that you acknowledge our love." And Maud Flanders gets up and says... To both of them, Edna, we're not talking about love here. We're talking about sex in front of this children, because for some reason she had to spell children. And wait, was it Maud or Helen Lovejoy? One of the two. Forgive me, I can't remember. Krusty the Clown, who is in the background scene of this, as soon as she finishes spelling children, he goes Sex Cauldron. I thought they closed that place down. This works on many levels, not the least of which being that Krusty is in fact canonically illiterate. So he knows sex, and then took a guess about something that started with a C and ended with an N.
Oh, that's really funny, actually.
I like the song. It's got a nice heavy beat to it. This one's got a little bit more of a groove to it. You know, the way it's structured.
Yeah, and that was going to be my comment on this. You know, I talked... The whole point of me bringing up the Bongzilla thing was... The musicianship itself was not bad. You know, I don't mind a nice doomy stoner sludge. It was the vocals that got to me. And here, this one was more rhythmical. Was a little bit more rock and roll than it was stoner. But I really liked the guy's voice. The guy has a nice cadence... And we're doing a metal podcast, is probably right to tell you who the singer is. The singer is Jono Coliver. From 2014 to now, he's lead vocals and guitar, and yeah, he has a really nice singing voice. Like especially for the kind of music this is, he has a nice tenor to his voice, a nice cadence, and I was, you know, like super enjoying the song because of that.
Yeah, I dug it again. The music kind of grooves, like you said, a little bit more rock and roll. And you're right about his voice. I like the way he sounds, and that's going to be a theme throughout the rest of this album. He sounds really nice. Moving on to Pick a Bar. This is a reference to an earlier episode, Season 4, Episode 14, Brother from the Same Planet. This is the episode where Bart gets a bigger brother after he's disappointed by Homer one too many times. And Homer replies by becoming a bigger brother. There's a fairly epic fight scene at the aquarium. This concludes with Homer telling Bart how to kick someone's back and get away with it. It's a very funny episode. The beginning bit, the inciting incident, Bart's at a soccer game, and Homer is supposed to pick him up. Marge and Lisa, as they leave the house, remind him Bart's going to be done in a few minutes. Bart's going to be done soon at soccer. Don't forget to pick him up. Homer, looking at the TV, says, "I'm on my way," which is then revealed to be the solution to a Wheel of Fortune puzzle. He then looks at the closed door and went, "What was that, Marge?" So, later, he's in the bathtub, knowing that there's something he's supposed to be doing, but he can't remember. His brain says, "Pick up Bart." But given Homer's acrimonious relationship with his brain, he says, "Pick a bar." What the hell does "pick a bar" mean?
I actually vaguely remember that now.
He eventually does remember, runs out of the house naked. Lisa yells after him, "Dad, hide your shame!" And then you hear Flanders, "Hey, Homer, I can see your doodle." There's actually a line in this same song that comes from, there's a sequence later where Bart's with his bigger brother, Homer's with his littler brother, and they're looking at the stars, and Bart's bigger brother says something accurate. And the other kid looks at Homer and goes, "Is that true, Papa Homer?" "No. They've all got other names. They were named, you know..." They're talking about constellations. "See that big dippery looking one? That's Henry, the cowboy."
Is this a heavier song? Real quick about that episode. Is that the one where Bart is like faking? He tells Homer, "I faked having fun on the swings," and it's a sex joke. But
I think.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. I'd have to double check, but I believe so.
But I remember that. I definitely. First of all, I am very fond of the phrase "Homer, I can see your doodle."
I imagine you get a lot of mileage out of that one.
I really do. I have yelled at my children, "For God's sakes, hide your shame!" And I've definitely been known to bandy about the house, going, "Homer, I can see your doodle." The song, though, the song is really heavy. It's a little heavier than Sex Cauldron. But, you know, so far we're 2 for 2.
Yeah, it's largely enjoyable. Again, it's a little bit heavier. You kind of headbang just a little bit. It's a slow headbang to this one.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
But, again, I'm with you. We're 2 for 2, and we've got a couple of good ones coming up.
Yes, sir. All right, let's move on to the next... two tracks here. They are Lard Lard and my personal favorite on here. This is the one that I tweeted on Twitter and then Robert made fun of me for. So Long Stinktown. First up, Lard. Sorry, not Lard Lard. Lard Lad. Speaking of acrimonious relationship to your brain.
Around actor up all night. The workers need some hammocks too. Marianne gets in the hammock with you.
Oh my god, So Long Stink Down is so good. It has, and I just now, this just now occurred to me, this has like a John Bush Anthrax / Manowar tonal quality to the singing on that one. And I can't say it's any of the other ones, but definitely for that one, I was, and also a little bit of the guitar, just a little bit. I was definitely getting some Sound of White Noise vibes.
Yeah, let's start with Lard Lad for a sec. So I,
yes,
because
sorry.
my OCD kind of wants us to.
No, that's fine.
No, we're good. No, we're good. Look, So Long Stink Town is going to be your anthem going into work for a week and a half until you find something else.
But you know me so well.
I really do. Lard Lad is this entire song is based around the short. This is from one of the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror, in particular Treehouse of Horror 6, which is season 7, episode 6. The short of the third Attack of the 50-Foot Eyesores, which is a great little short that features at one point Bart actually being the devil on the shoulder of the giant devil. His line about the Miracle Mile is, again, lifted straight from the episode where there's not a single church or library to offend the eye. That Lard Lad might be my favorite of this episode from a musical quality. I can really dig the heavier, slower pace.
Yeah.
That this thing goes into, and especially when it gets to the chorus, it's a real fun little riff on gospel,
mm-hmm.
Right? You know, the Miracle Mile. You just kind of want to put your hands up and sway back and forth. it's a really well constructed song in that particular respect. It doesn't overstay its welcome. I dig that heavier kind of. I struggle to find the right verbiage here. That song gives me the vibe of like their cover art, you know, kind of wandering in the desert.
Yeah,
it's a little bit. There's an entire like subgenre of country called dark country, and it gives me vibes of that. Again, heavier, but the same. But in a lot of respects, the same kind of vibes. And I dig that. I absolutely dig that. It's a pretty so. Your thoughts on Lard Lad musically, at least, because you don't remember The Simpsons the way I do, which is fine.
No, you're here to talk about the Simpsons episodes and Spiders, because if this were me and Jesse, I'd be like, this is cool, it is cool, moving on. No, you're absolutely here to I mean, you can't not talk about the references, that's like 90% of the band here. So, I'm actually like super glad it worked out this way. But as far as musically, yeah, Lard Lad, one of the things I like about Dr. Colossus so far in 4 songs that we've heard is they never lose their sense of rhythm. No matter how slow they're going, see, my problem with a lot of sludge metal and a little bit of the stoner rock genre, though I love the stoner rock genre, sometimes they play so slow and they play, and I don't know the technical term for how they're dealing with the guitar, but it's so tuned, I think it's tuned down, it's so tuned down and so slow, it loses any kind of sense of rhythm. And the thing about stoner metal that's always attracted me to it is its bass in blues. You know, it has a stoner metal has this really, really strong bass in the traditional blues genre, and then it's just kind of laden with guitars and drumming and more of a rock element to it, and that's stoner metal. You know, Clutch comes from that. Corrosion of Conformity, you know, another band I really, really love. Monster Magnet, to a certain degree.
For the record, the drum work in particular in Lard Lad, I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm. So the better ones are able to maintain a sense of that blues rhythm, while still down tuning, you know, and playing a lot of like really crunchy chords. The ones that don't do it as well, it becomes too much like doom metal. It becomes too far into the doom metal genre, and not enough staying in the blues. So Lard Lad, right? That's what you wanted me to talk about. Lard Lad is firmly entrenched in the tradition of blues-inspired rock music.
Yeah.
It's not tremendously down-tuned, which I liked. The vocals are really, really solid in this one. You know, he doesn't. I would say like he changes his vocals a little bit in So Long Stinktown. It's a little harsher than the three preceding songs. But Lard Lad, and here's the other thing about Lard Lad: as slow as it gets at times, it still has a pretty tone to it. It never gets slow, low, and ugly like a lot of this music tends to be. It tends to maintain a very pretty pitch.
100%, and I think that's part of my struggle with certain elements of, you know, stoner metal. It gets boring to listen to, and this never does, so kudos for that. All right. For the record, I think these two, Lard Lad and So Long Stinktown, I think these are the two best on the album, just my opinion. Let's move on to So Long Stinktown, because musically this is great. I'm with you, and as far as like, you know, a little bit of the Anthrax, little bit of Pantera vibes.
Yeah.
Not tremendous, but a little bit. You know, the kind of, you know, the original like Godfathers of angry, almost Southern style metal. That influence is very present here.
Yeah, I think if I had to kind of point to a specific album that I think, when they're not, the problem with Pantera was when they got to Far Beyond Driven and the Great Southern Trendkill, you either got music like So Long Stinktown or you got blast beats. And they couldn't make up their mind what they wanted to be. So, like, you get a lot of really good rhythmic Pantera in their later catalog, and then they kind of went back the other way when they get to Revolution Is My Name. I think that's the name of the next album, but it's the one with the guy on fire. In any case, my point being that you reference Pantera, and yeah, So Long Stinktown has elements of rhythmic Pantera to it.
Yeah, our Simpsons references for this. Oh, my heart. This speaks to my soul, Mark. So Long Stinktown is a reference to one of my favorite episodes ever. One of the better episodes ever. And probably still the gold standard for a celebrity guest cameo comes out of this episode. This is Season 8, Episode 2, You Only Move Twice. Featuring, in our guest cameo, the great Albert Brooks as Hank Scorpio.
Oh, this one! Yeah, I remember this.
Homer yells, "So long, Stinktown," as he and the family leave the city. Actually locking Grandpa Simpson out of the house and away from his medication.
Oh, was that when he said, "It's dark out and there are wolves after me"?
Yes, that gag also pays off at the very end when he shows up, when they drive back up to the city, and here's Grandpa Simpson, and suddenly he looks like a woman. See what happens when I'm off my medication, and Marge yells at Homer, go get Grandpa's meds, and then, his name forgets me, but the other old guy with the long beard
comes in. Meller or something like that, isn't it? Or am I thinking of Hans Mole Man?
You're thinking of Mole Man. No, this is a different guy. This is
I know the character. He's the That's a Paddling character.
Yeah, that's a yeah. He comes up and goes, "Hold on. I want to court this fair lady."
I actually very much remember that episode.
All the lyrics are references to this. Homer, the first part of the first verse is Homer's kind of speech to his family about how they need to get out of town and he needs to accept this new job with Hank Scorpio's conglomerate, and him getting adjusted there, and him motivating his people, getting the reactor up. The line about a glass and a half is too much, that's Marge, who can't be a housekeeper because the house takes care of itself, so she drinks a glass and a half of wine a day. He's like, it's just too much, I can't drink it. I can't do it. I love that episode. It is a classic. It is a great episode. I love this song. Again, it's a little bit more rhythmic. It's a little. It's still you headbang to this one. It's no. It doesn't surprise me. This is your favorite. I don't mean that in any sort of negative way. This would be the song out of these that would speak to you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really, really good song. Again, Lardland and So Long Stinktown are the strongest two songs on this album.
Before we have some agenda business we need to get to, but before we do, I never asked you at the top of this because we're too busy talking about everything else. What is Dr. Colossus a reference to?
He is a Simpsons character. One second, I will find the specifics.
It's not the villain of Radioactive Man, is it?
I believe he is, actually.
Oh, look at me guessing good.
Hang on, I will give you more specifics. Oh, no. He's a real person. He's okay. Just a mad scientist who resides in Springfield.
It's not Edward Frigg or whatever his name is.
No, this is not Professor Frink.
Yes.
This guy first appears in Lisa versus Malibu Stacy. He's actually present when Mr. Burns blots out the sun. He thinks it's tacky because he's a supervillain.
Okay.
In fact, at one he's featured a bit prominently in the episodes, the two-parter of Who Shot Mr. Burns. Again, he finds it tacky that Burns blocks the sun like that. He is questioned about the shooting of Mr. Burns because you're a supervillain and he kind of upstaged you. he's somewhat accidentally released by Wiggum and has the best line. Wiggum tells him as he's letting him go, you know, like normally they will say, you know, don't leave town. He tells him stay away from Death Mountain, but Dr. Colossus responds, but all my stuff is there.
That's really funny, actually.
He's made a couple of other like minor appearances. There's a famous gag in like the 32 short stories about Springfield when Lisa gets gum in her hair. He shows up to offer advice. He's kind of a background character after that, but he's presented and originally as one of the ex-husbands of the original like model of Malibu Stacy.
Okay.
So he's a real character in The Simpsons. Again, a bit one who's been around who shows up every now and then, but yeah, that's a Simpsons character.
All right. Glad we got that in. Speaking of which, let's pay some bills here.
Speaking of super villainy,
yes,
Amazon.
Close. Grammarly. I sincerely doubt they needed Grammarly to write the awesome lyrics for this album, but you know, you could always use a little extra help. Why not, right? Why not? So, Grammarly's AI-powered products help people communicate more effectively. Grammarly helps you write mistake-free on Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Ideally, anywhere else you write on the web, Grammarly corrects hundreds of grammar, punctuation, and spelling mistakes while also catching contextual errors, improving your vocabulary, and suggesting style improvements. To download Grammarly today, go to getgrammarly.com/W2M Network. Again, it's getgrammarly.com/W2M Network to download Grammarly for free. All right. We're moving into the back half of this album now. We got four more tracks to go. And the next two are Get Mendoza and Hummingbird of Bengal. We'll be right back.
most of my days. You got a nerve to question me. You a citizen with a PhD. I won't lie to you. On this job you will be shot at. There ain't no point calling the dream police. Don't knock the land I love. Worship all the gods above. The extra arms on this shoe. I won't touch expired ham. I'm a vegan, not a vegetarian. I want you to get out and go to hell. And thank you, please come again.
Okay, Clutch needs to do a cover of that song.
I love that.
It's so good.
That song makes me smile so much. Let's start with Get Mendoza, because I want to maintain going in order, but I have things to say about the Hummingbird of Bengal. Get Mendoza. Let me start with musically. I would like this song a lot if it weren't 7 minutes. I think it overstays its welcome a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you there.
That said, I like the... This one has some grunge to it, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
I like the vocals that go in... I mean, both of these two songs. I kind of dig what he does with Get Mendoza. It's just a little bit too long, a little bit too slow for me, especially over, like, 7 minutes and change for Get Mendoza.
Yeah,
our Simpsons references here are quite a few, actually. Mostly what we're referencing is a series of shorts that touch on the fictional McBain movie starring Rainer Wolfcastle.
I knew it had to be something like that, especially when they were like 2 days from retirement and all that. And I'm like, oh, I kind of know these. And sometimes like I don't know if I'm thinking of Family Guy when I should be thinking of Simpsons or vice versa. But I'm like, this is all sounding too familiar.
Fun fact about this, believe it or not, because Simpsons fans are an enterprising lot, someone put together in chronological order, as near as they can tell, the clips that are showed of the McBain movie to give you the McBain movie.
Nice.
I'll send it to you in a message. It's about 5 minutes long, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, we only have clips. But the one in particular... is the clip where McBain's partner is very clearly not Danny Glover from Lethal Weapon, where he is shot and killed in a diner,
mm-hmm.
Which first airs on season 3, episode 9, Saturdays of Thunder. But the song draws references from every McBain clip. The first time he shows up to attack attack Senator Mendoza and gets poisoned by a salmon puff, which he takes because plot. Or at the end, when he's able to kill him by throwing him out a window, him falling out of this high rise, landing on a gasoline truck, and then it exploding because, of course, it does.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a lot of those. So it's a lot of that. Again, Senator Mendoza is kind of the nemesis of McBain in the original iteration of that particular character. Another reference that we get here, when they do the "Dead Men Tell No Lies" bit line,
mm-hmm.
that's actually the subtitle. That's actually the subheading of one of McBain's movies. I forget which one. Because McBain goes from being a... Sometimes he's a Lethal Weapon character. Sometimes he's James Bond. Sometimes he's some other Schwarzenegger stand-in. He's whatever they need him to be to make the gag. So that's kind of what I got there. Again, it's just a little over long, but I dig the grunge. I dig the slightly slower pace. This has a... If this is the weakest song on this album, and I tend to think it is, it's still a really good song overall.
Oh, it's a super good song. It kind of goes to what we were saying before about, you know, when they slow it down and give you that groove. There's a lot of these, you know, like, you know, stoner metal obviously goes to the idea of, you know, kicking back, imbibing your downer of choice, and just feeling, you know, comfortably numb. And I think they do a good job of evoking that without losing its sense of rock and roll.
Yeah, I'll go with that completely.
All right, the Hummingbird. By the way, my second favorite song off of here is Hummingbird of Bengal.
I can dig it. I love the horns in this.
Yeah.
I love that they go out of their way to evoke a Western kind of, the legacy of like Western film and the music associated with it for this legendary bastion of the Quickie Mart standing behind the counter, daring you to try and draw on him.
You could have stuck this onto Robot Hive Exodus from Clutch, and no one would have known the difference.
I'll buy that. Some of my favorite lines from this. I love the, I won't lie to you, on this job you will be shot at. which doesn't actually come from the primary, if memory serves. It does not actually come from the primary episode they're referencing. I want to say that line comes from the episode where Lisa finally gets her pony. Its name escapes me at the moment. And Homer takes a job at the Quickie Mart to pay for the expenses of feeding and boarding this large animal. But our primary source of reference here is episode or season 5, episode 13, Homer and Apu. This is the episode where Homer gets salmonella after eating food from the Quickie Mart. He then is part of an expose that exposes their unsanitary food handling policies, which Apu gets fired for, despite everyone acknowledging he's only following company guidelines. And Apu is replaced by James Woods. Not James Woods doing another character, it's James Woods as James Woods.
Right.
Rehearsing his... preparing for an upcoming role where he plays a tightly wound convenience store clerk. The line about the hummingbird, actually, again, same episode, Apu goes to the Quickie Mart and James Woods sees him and goes, "Hey, are you Apu Nahasapima Petalon? Man, you're like a legend around here. Is it true you once worked 29 hours straight?" "Oh, yes, it was. By the end, I thought there was a hummingbird of some sort." There's video footage of him, like, on tiptoe, scooting around through the frame, going, just, it's a great episode. There's a lot of fun that comes out of that one. I mean, I know Apu has become something of a controversial figure, to which I would happily piss on all of you. Apu's great. But I dig the song. I dig it. Again, I dig the lyrics. I love the quality of the singing, not just in terms of vocals, but in when he breaks up delivery to make it clear when he's speaking versus when he's singing. This is a lot of fun. This song makes me smile. It makes me laugh. I dig it. I absolutely dig this one.
All right, so we're down to the last two songs here, plus one. Because lately I've... You know, my ADD kicks in, and I got to add stuff. I got to do an end of the album medley.
You've got your medley that you have to do. Fine.
So here's the thing. We're up to the last song of the actual album, right? Yep. Last song of the actual album, number 7 here is Space Cowboy, which is about 10 minutes long.
Why? Why do you do that?
Space Coyote.
Space
Coyote, sorry. And then to keep it even... I added a single, a non-album single, as I said before, 66 and 6. But there's an extra song that... Now, this is from... their first album that came out in 2017 was called The Dank. And then there's also a compilation that they put out called Death Mountain Collection, which came out in 2016 from Death Mountain Productions.
Because they're Dr. Colossus. All their stuff is in Death Mountain.
That makes sense. And I'm telling you this because I want you to be, like, quick while you're hearing these three songs, quick, get prepared to talk about this. There's a song on the Death Mountain Collection, which I have not heard yet. I'm hearing it for the first time on this podcast, and I can't not do this review without hearing this song, because it's one of my favorite Homer Simpson's lines ever. His relationship to Ned Flanders always cracked me up. They're such odd, you know, odd couples, and they're, you know, it's a complicated relationship in that Homer hates him, he loves him, he's jealous of him, There's all kinds of stuff between Homer and Ned. And
they have, I say this without irony, the relationship between Ned and Homer is significantly more nuanced, complicated, deep, and interesting than 90% of main characters in any given long-running movie franchise.
That is 110% correct. And so I think one of the gags with Ned, because he's always wearing, in his getup with the pink turtleneck and the green sweater, he's always got kind of dad bod going on. He never looks. You know where I'm going with this. He never looks
Dude,
totally put together.
Ned is ripped.
Yeah, he takes off his.
He's not groundskeeper Willie ripped, but Ned's pretty well built.
Yeah, he takes off his shirt and he looks like, he looks like an action hero. He's the abs, the pecs, the whole nine yards. And so there's a line that Homer Simpson says in one of their episodes, and this is what I want you to talk about when we come back.
Oh, it's stupid sexy Flanders, isn't it?
It is stupid sexy Flanders. The way...
Feels like I'm wearing nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
That line has cracked me up forever. Just, stupid sexy Flanders. It's so good. That is the best. So, yes...
You might be misremembering where it's first said, or I might be.
I know.
The line comes from an episode where the family goes skiing.
Okay.
And Homer is slowly skiing. He's a novice, mm-hmm. and he's in snow pants and a jacket, and he's bulked up, and he's going slowly. And a skier in one of those competition skin tight outfits shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing a helmet. You kind of sprays him with his spray as he stops, and Homer goes, don't hurt me. And it puts the visor up, and it's Ned.
Mm-hmm.
And they share a bit of banter, and Homer looks at him and goes, geez, Ned, isn't that outfit a little revealing? And Flanders' response is, yeah, but the aerodynamics are great, and really, it feels like I'm wearing nothing at all. And he kind of half turns and shakes his butt. and this visual comes back to Homer as he's desperately trying to remember how to avoid getting into a crash while skiing. And as he can't remember, drowned out in the thoughts of nothing at all, stupid sexy Flanders.
Okay, I will not debate you. You clearly have the memory of an elephant, and as we all know, I have the memory of Swiss cheese. But I'm putting those things together because I remember Homer reacting to the reveal of Ned being ripped and no, he doesn't say stupid sexy Flanders then, but that's always been in my head, and it doesn't take away from my initial thought here of I've always loved the fact that Homer acknowledges that about Ned, but is totally jealous, and so that's his reaction, and it's a very human reaction, it's a very natural reaction, stupid sexy Flanders. So now, Robert Winfrey, I gotta hear this fucking song. I just do. So here we go. Space Coyote, 66 and 6, and the aforementioned Stupid Sexy Flanders.
last year I was passed out on the ground. Now I know what I must do. Carve my spoon from a bigger wooden spoon. Yeah.
All right, stupid, sexy Winfrey, take me home, baby doll.
Well, let's start with Space Coyote. Then we can touch on the other two. So, Space Coyote is... musically, I dig... this one does the best job, I think, of kind of tapping into that stoner metal, like quasi-psychedelic, let's just sit back and go on this journey with this song, which works really well, not just as its own kind of music, but also given the episode it's referencing. Now, Space Coyote is a reference to another episode a lot of people, myself included, very much enjoy. Season 8, Episode 9.
Is this the Homer Chili Chill Out psychedelic episode?
Yes.
Okay.
The title of the episode is El Vieja Misterioso de Nuestro Homer, which is it translates to the Mysterious Voyage of Homer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, or as the rest of us mortals call it, the Homer Trip Out episode.
The song itself is full of references, including a couple of my... This episode, as much as any, gets a lot of play around my house just for Homer's little dance at the beginning when he goes, "Marge, I'm missing the cookout! I'm missing the cook-off!" References, of course, to the Guatemalan Insanity Peppers, which I always laugh at. There's the entire trippy dream sequence, which, of course, is great. In fact, the first verse carries one of my favorite gags. When Homer shows up to the cookout line, where everyone's kind of propositioning their chili, and he is like the supreme judge. He's the man with the cast iron stomach. And everyone sees him, and they all get nervous, and then he pulls out a wooden spoon. And Lenny leans over to somebody next to him and goes, "They say he carved it himself from a bigger spoon." Which is such a great gag. And of course, you can't talk about this episode without talking about the one and only Johnny Cash doing the voice work for the Space Coyote that is Homer's spirit guide. That is a great episode. Can't go wrong with it. And we get, again, it makes sense that this song would come out of inspiration from that episode. It would fit right in.
Mm-hmm.
I dig the switch between the kind of opening acoustic bits and then going into the heavier stuff, which they do a few other times throughout the rest of the song. I enjoy it. It's a pretty good little tune.
Yeah, I really liked it. I have to say, I'll kind of give my thoughts on just the whole album. This one, like I said, it was a bit of a surprise. I really, really enjoyed this. It was a pleasant surprise. As far as, like, good stoner metal, I don't get to hear a lot of it in just the natural course of what we do. I mean,
you don't say.
You don't get a lot of time in between the Rob Zombie and the Saliva and the Buck Cherry and the Nickelback. But...
which is all compounded by the fact that there's not a lot of good stoner metal out there to begin with.
So, that's one of the nice things about following Blabbermouth, and especially Metal Injection, on social media, is the people who write for them really do dig into the off-the-beaten-path stuff, and you know, that's how I found that's how I found a lot of, like, the pirate metal genre. That's how I found, like, really silly bands like Max Sabbath and whatever the mariachi cover band that does, like, mariachi metal covers and stuff like that. You know, like, you find a lot of really fun stuff doing it, and I like to talk about it on here in between some of the other stuff that we do. So I very much enjoyed this, and I will continue to follow Dr. Colossus as a band. All right, so give me your words of wisdom here on 66 and 6, and then finally Stupid Sexy Flanders, and then we'll get out of here.
Well, 66 and 6 is actually a couple of references primarily in one. The first one being... this stupid little gag that came out of an episode that was just way too short. The episode in question being not that one. This was The Front. It was it's season 4, episode 19. The primary thrust of this episode is Bart and Lisa write a couple of itchy and scratchy cartoons and submit them, but they're not taken seriously because they're kids. So they put their they put Grandpa Simpson's name on it, resubmit it, and it's accepted. And kind of what comes out of that. There's a subplot where Homer and Marge go to their high school reunion. Homer wins a bunch of awards, but he's not eligible because he never actually graduated. So he takes a remedial course, graduates, and gets all of his stuff back from Principal Dondelinger. And the problem they ran into at the end was, even after a bunch of animation tricks to make this thing longer, it was still a full minute too short.
Mm-hmm.
So to extend it, they added a gag at the very end, which was called The Adventures of Ned Flanders, which had its own theme song.
This is like Cletus the Slack-Jawed Yokel.
This single gag inspired the entire 22 short episodes about Springfield episode. They did this to fill 1 minute of airtime, and it's got the opening gag, which is the opening song, which is chickens love roosters, geese love ganders, everyone else loves Ned Flanders.
Not me.
Everyone who counts loves Ned Flanders. And then it cuts to the short of him going into the room of Rod and Todd and going, "Get ready for church, boys," and them going, "We're not going to church today." "Well, you better have a darn good reason why. It's Saturday." Oh, shucks. It is filler. It is nothing, but it's funny.
Oh yeah, I knew the reference because of nothing else about that episode. I remember it's time to go to church. Well, we're not going to church today. And they pull back the camera and Ned stands aghast and he's like, "But why not?" He's like, "Cause today's Saturday." "Oh, you're right." So good.
The other gag comes from the title, which is 66 and 6. Believe it or not, there's an episode, season 9, episode 7, as I look it up. It's called Bart Star. This is an episode where Bart joins a Pop Warner football team. Not quite Pop Warner, he's older than that, but the intramural football team, and his dad coaches, and Bart's not all that good, but Nelson is. And drama comes out of this. This episode actually features a cameo from Hank Hill in the stands of one game, and he actually has a line. So canonically, they crossed over there. But Rod and Todd Flanders are both on the Little League team. They're all on the football team. One of their jersey numbers is 66, and the other one is 6.
That's funny.
So that's where we get that particular bit of... that's how we get that particular bit of the title. As for the song... this is one that I can kind of dig, even if I don't think it's going to stick with me. It's got a nice groove to it. You can kind of headbang at places. So I don't object to it at all. So 66 and 6 is fine. Stupid Sexy Flanders didn't do a whole lot for me.
No, it's one where the title is really funny, but the song is just kind of, it's all right.
Again, it's not bad, but it didn't really speak to me all that much, so...
It did not live up to the hype that I gave it, that's for certain.
Boy, isn't that true of so many things, including me, every time you introduce me on a show.
Stop. You're special. That's the kind of thing my wife would say. You're special. It's not meant as a compliment. All right.
Just because you're unique doesn't mean you're better.
So that's it. So you want to give your overall thoughts on this whole Dr. Colossus experience?
I enjoyed it. By and large, I wasn't quite sure what to expect when I first fired this up and listened to it, but I don't think this is going to be something that I reference a whole lot. It's not going to be a big touchstone for me musically. Music is not a big touchstone for me generally. But there's not really a bad song in that particular pack of 7, and you get some funny references, you get some music you can enjoy. Call it a win.
Yep. All right. So as far as the next couple of Metal Hammer of Dooms, next week my schedule got all shot to shit. So we moved some things around.
Did it, Mark?
So we moved some things around, and Monday night, Jesse is back. and we're going to be doing our Metal Hammer of Doom on Monday. I'm the only one that seems to care that we do this on this day, this on that day, this on the other day. Everybody else is like, I'll just record whenever you need me. It's fine. So we're going to do Green Jelly, Garbage Band Kids. You kids out there may not know this, but some of you older listeners may remember Green Jelly was the band that was famous for the Three Little Pigs song. Most of the world has forgotten about them. I haven't, and oddly enough, they're putting out a new album as of this Friday.
That is such... Only you.
Yeah.
Only you.
So,
You're special, Mark.
I am. And not in a good way.
In both ways.
Jesse and I will be reviewing Green Jelly Garbage Band Kids on Monday, June 14th. And then we're back to our regularly scheduled Wednesday at 9. We'll be doing an actual band that does actual metal. Not a hilarious joke band. We're doing Fear Factory, Aggression Continuum. Love Fear Factory. Loved Fear Factory back in the day. Continue to love them. So it'll be fun to listen to that with Jesse. We've got a couple of... Because I went through a period where I was, I was uploading all kinds of stuff from the archives, and I was trying to get some Metal Hammer of Doom in on weeks that I was either not going to be around, or there wasn't going to be a Metal Hammer of Doom that we were recording live. And in this particular case, I ended up uploading two in the same week and ended up recording on those days anyway, so it doesn't really matter. So from the very earliest days of the Metal Hammer of Doom, even before it was called that, you'll hear an archive show that Coop and I did. This was actually his pick, if I remember correctly. It was a very long time ago. This is Black Country Communion, Afterglow. From the earliest days of this podcast. And then another one from around the same time period, but definitely more metal. We did, at that time, the New Testament album, Dark Roots of Earth. We've since reviewed newer Testament albums, but that was the one that kind of like Hatebreed from around that era just got me rolling on that band, because I hadn't been the world's biggest Testament or Overkill fan. Back when they, when they were at the height of their metaldom, but both bands put out albums. People have heard this podcast before, have heard me just blurt out, "Welcome to Jersey, you fucks." That is right from whatever the new Overkill album that we reviewed was. So yeah, Overkill and Testament have won me over in their later years, and this was the beginning of it. This is Dark Roots of Earth, which is an amazing album. It was one of my favorites from back in the day. And we'll re-air that on June 30th. July, we got Buck Cherry. Yeah! Buck Cherry, baby. I love the cocaine. Robert Winfrey, can you wait? We will be reviewing the new Buck Cherry album. You're like, what the fuck? Really? Buck Cherry? Yeah, man.
Mark, your enthusiasm for that particular band does not surprise me one iota.
So yeah, we'll be reviewing the new Buck Cherry on July 7th. And then the following week, no Metal Hammer of Doom at all. It's just my whole schedule here is just ridiculous. But then the following week after that, straight from the Mortal Kombat soundtrack reviews, we're going to go a little off the beaten path here on July 21st. We're going to be reviewing Scooter, God Save the Rave. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? We must save the rave, Robert Winfrey.
I'd rather it died.
Of course you would. So yeah, we're gonna do some happy hardcore. We're gonna do some happy hardcore for German happy hardcore for your ass on July 21st. We've got another archive show on July 25th. The very first Clutch retrospective that we did, and we've done quite a few of these. This was the very first one. This is the one that turned Jesse into a big fan of the show and ultimately became a part of the family and now an essential part of the Rattlegion Broadcasting Network.
Everyone out there, take notice. Do not become fans of this show. Of us. We will pull you into our... We are a black hole.
Yeah, don't just listen passively. Don't contact me. Don't try to be my friend. I'll end up asking you to. You'll want to be on just one show, and 20 minutes later, you're on 900 shows, and you wonder where your life has gone. You feel like your life is going nowhere.
I know my life is going nowhere.
That's a Front 242 reference. All right, so in the meantime, we do other things besides the Metal Hammer of Doom, believe it or not. Today, we're recording this, the first episode of Loki on Marvel dropped. Neither one of us have seen it, because we wait for the damn thing to be over, and then we watch a six-hour movie. But the rest of the world seemingly obsessed over it today.
I'm not looking forward to that. Look, I get that people are. I get that people liked WandaVision. I didn't. I get that people liked Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I didn't. I can't get excited about anything featuring Owen Wilson in a starring role. I just can't.
Well, to coincide with the dropping of the first episode of Loki, this being Loki Wednesday, myself and Alexis Hanna reviewed one of the Loki limited series, The God Who Fell to Earth. That's up in the archives for you, so go ahead and check that out. We kicked off the week with a re-airing of Everyone Loves a Bad Guy, Disney Villains Part 2, and in the evening time, myself and Robert Winfrey did a alternative commentary for Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul, or as the boxing literati referred to it, the end of boxing as we know it, and nobody feels fine.
Look, let's call it what it is. This was the fleecing of the sheep.
And we were there to call all the action for you.
And apparently it did about 1 million buys, so
yeah, buddy.
You know, somebody mentioned on Twitter, some boxing media member, I forget who, that Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul was going to do more pay-per-views than Spence Pacquiao, Fury Wilder 3, and I forget the third one.
Teofimo Lopez?
No. Wasn't Lopez. I forget what it was. Another title.
It'll still do more than that one, though.
No. It would do more than all three of those combined.
Are you shitting me? That seems high.
Fury Wilder 2 only did about 300K.
Are you shitting me, really? Wow.
Maybe you're right. I think Pacquiao might still draw enough to make that a bit of an exaggeration, but it's closer to truth than not.
In the meantime, Alexis Hanna and I reviewed MODOK Head Games, written by Patton Oswalt and Jordan Blum. We had an interview. We don't do many interviews here. I kind of had the Conrad Thompson philosophy of no guests needed, and that's mostly because I don't want to be bothered. But other people have taken the initiative to go out and find interviews for me to do, and so myself and Jason Teasley a little ways back did a Long Road to Ruin for the Zombies trilogy, Zombies, Zombies 2, and Aquarium of the Dead, which had just come out the same day as Army of the Dead. So if you were in the mood for a zombie marathon, there was plenty of fresh content for you. So we reviewed all three of those movies. Jason and I had a good time with that. They were simple enough movies to get through. And Jason was like, hey, wouldn't it be fun if we got the director on? And I went, what? And the director actually got back to us. Glenn Miller contacted us and was like, yeah, I'd love to do an interview. So he got up very early in the morning for him. I gave no fucks about his schedule. He was like, when do you want to do this? I'm like, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. He was like, I live in California. And I said, no fucks given. And he said, all right then. So
He respected you for it.
So he got up at oh dark early in the morning. And I said, you don't have to have your camera on, sir. It's fine. And he went, oh, thank God. So we interviewed Glenn Miller.
Fortunately, no pants required either.
And so we interviewed him, and it was a good interview, I thought. We had a very fun conversation. He was a great joy to talk to. Learned a lot about the indie slash B filmmaking industry, which apparently is, do we have a script? Not really, but we've got a trailer. Great, shoot. Go ahead and listen to it. It's quite fascinating. I figured out that if I could raise the yearly salary of the average jail social worker, I could be a producer for the asylum.
You could be one of their top producers, I tend to imagine.
It's amazing. And then finally, myself, Alexis Hanna, and Andrew Graham talked about all things Catholicism and a little bit on Lucifer Season 5B.
Not a Catholic among you, but boy, were you prepared to give opinions.
Yep. Alexis and I reviewed MODOK on Hulu, and my kids and I, because I don't get a day off, I had an evening off because everything kind of fell apart on June 8th.
You invited your children onto the podcast a few different times and said, hey, get over here, talk. And now that you decide you don't want that, you would like an evening to enjoy a quiet bit of time with your family, enjoy maybe an adult beverage, some time with the wife, a movie that you want to watch because you want to watch it. Your son, the fruit of your loins, bearer of your name, your shot into the future, comes running in and goes, Dad, I want a podcast.
So, funny story about that. I'm talking to Lily about, hey, do you want to join Alexis and I on In the Heights? I know you're into musicals. This seems like something you would have an opinion about. You loved Hamilton. You want to make me watch it. Alexis seems to think I should watch Hamilton in order to prepare for In the Heights. Do you want to be on the review? And she says, yes. And Jonas goes, me too. And I went, no, you're 7. Don't like musicals. I don't even know why you want to see this. And no, it's not your time. You do the commentaries where you get to yell stupid shit at the television. That's fine. People seem to really enjoy that for some odd reason.
I worry about the demographic that very much enjoys listening to you and your son yell at a movie screen.
Yeah, really. You know, people seem to enjoy his reactions to, you know, to AEW wrestling and whatnot. So that's fine, and I enjoy doing those. Those are fun. It's easy to do, and we enjoy it. We don't throw a football around. This is what we do. And but he was like, "No, I have to be on In the Heights," and I'm like, "Holy Christ, Jonas!" I had to explain to him the difference between me just flipping on a recorder and him screaming at the television, and actual long form criticism and discussion, and how he's not mentally prepared for such a thing. Though I made him a promise, because I told him he's not doing In the Heights, no way, no how. But I did agree to do the Ready Player One thing with him, and that was the plug I was about to do. We did an alternative commentary for Ready Player One. If you want to hear an actual discussion about the movie, Robert and I reviewed the movie when it came out.
It did.
And it's in the archives. But I'm probably going to have both my kids on for Luca. So that'll be fun. It'll be me, you, Alexis, and my children discussing Lovecraftian monsters in the Pixar universe.
I can't wait for Pixar to make me cry over those things.
And then finally, tomorrow, Chris Bailey. Myself, Alexis Haina, and Sean Comer, apropos of nothing else happening in the world, just because we wanted to, we'll be doing a comic strip for. We'll be doing a comic strip for The Judas Contract from the Teen Titans. We will read the book. We will review the movie. We will have an adult discussion. We will share our. No. We will have fun doing that. Friday is the re-airing of our Dawn of the Planet of the Apes review from a little ways back. Also, again, Alexis Haina, Sean Comer, and I, because this is Pride Month all month long, for all the LGBTQ+ folks out there. DC Comics put out an anthology, DC Pride Number 1, featuring their LGBTQ+ characters. We will read the book, we will review it, we will celebrate Pride, a good time will be had by all. And then after I get back from seeing Furious 7 with my kids in the theater, myself and Pat Mullen will review the first half of Dark Side of the Ring
Season
3. Your daughter's
not going to be happy. Okay. This is the episode where Wonder Woman, whose actress
Gal Gadot.
My brain. This is where Gal Gadot's character dies.
Yes. Well, I don't know if she's tremendously attached to Gal Gadot in this series.
Yeah, but she doesn't like getting hurt.
No. The one that she seems to be every movie since the third one, she is obsessed with Han. That's the character that she's most looking forward to seeing come back in the ninth one.
Oh God, screw him.
Anyway, my Dynamite Kids episode of Dark Side of the Ring will be tomorrow night. So Friday we are going to.
I wonder if that one will have a happy ending.
It won't.
It really won't.
So, yeah, they split the season into two parts, so we're going to review part one on Friday night. And then Saturday, Jesse's got a syndicated source material for What If Wolverine Was Lord of the Vampires? It was a vampire. Skull! All right, that's it. That's it for me. The next thing Robert's going to be on, just so I can help him out with that. Nothing
depressed.
Nothing next week, but he will be back Monday the 21st for Damn You Hollywood for Luca, and he will be on nothing else that week. But he will be on Damn You Hollywood again in its usual time of Tuesday night at 9 o'clock for F9 The Fast Saga.
And I just shoot all of those people.
Just.
I look, that show, that series, that franchise has never been my bag, ever.
What made you and Sean? Oh, that reminds me. In conjunction with the Fast 9 saga, which comes out June 25th, we're re-airing our review of Furious 7, but we're also re-airing your Long Road to Ruin that you did with Sean. If you hate it so much, what possessed you two to talk about it? If you can go into that just like in 20 words or less.
If I remember the sequence of events correctly, there was a Fast and the Furious movie set to come out.
It's and probably you said, F7.
I forget which one. I forget how many years ago it was.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. There was one. I believe there was one set to come out. You said, hey, we should do a Long Road to Ruin on this. Sean kind of went, yeah, sure, all right, we can talk cars and whatnot and how, you know, and a few other things. And you then went, yeah, but I'm on vacation. So you pointed me at it.
That sounds like a shitty, stupid thing I would do. Hey, listen, I have this great idea for a show we should do. Are you going to be a part of it? No! I have a life.
I believe it went something like that. Don't quote me, but it was something like that.
Okay, and it had to have been F7. The math doesn't add up otherwise, because by that point, the sixth one had already been out. We did F8 a year or so ago, so it had to have been F7.
Yeah, sure. I'll buy that. I don't really care. Look, man, I had fun tearing that stupid thing to pieces. That show gave birth to a long-running gag between Sean and myself about just how big the continent of Asia is and how many cities did Dom hit on his quest to beat everyone in some kind of race all across Asia before he arrives at Lucas Black's underground drift garage at the close of Tokyo Drift.
It's funny. All right, do your plug and let's get out of here.
Let's see. Last week I did my usual spate of stuff, which is a lot of coverage. I cover professional wrestling on occasion for 411 Mania, AW's Dark Elevation on Mondays, MLW, whatever they're doing on Wednesdays, and WWE SmackDown on Fridays. So as soon as we're done here, I'm going to fire up MLW's Underground Re-Air and watch that. I believe our main event for this evening is a match between Jimmy Yang and the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels. This would be from 2003, 2004, give or take. Oh, sorry. Not Jimmy Yang, Sanjay Dutt and Christopher Daniels. My apologies, I got that wrong. So again, Sanjay Dutt in the prime of his life, physical prime, Christopher Daniels, when there was a very real argument, he was one of the better workers in the world. Also on this episode, God help us all, Mikey Whipwreck and Norman Smiley.
Oi.
And the Samoan Island Tribe versus Monster Mac, Matt Martell, and Rich Criado. I will try very hard not to off myself.
Yeah, I have you on way too many shows going into 2023. Please wait until I'm done with you.
No. Look, look, buddy. If that happens, you'll get a note.
Okay.
I might apologize for leaving you hanging, but you and I also both know if I make it to 2023, by that point you'll go, but Rob, 2026.
That's true. If I can book out in 2020 and 2021 all the way to 2023, I suppose by the time we get to 2023, I'll have booked out to 2026.
It never ends. So Friday,
That reminds me, I never finished the story from earlier, like 2 hours ago. So I ask Sarah for her address to her house, and I tell my wife about this, and she's like, you are a fucking psychopath. Why do you schedule so far out in advance? And I'm like, you're getting on me about that, but 2 minutes ago I told you I have our date planned to go see Downton Abbey 2. I have the day, I have the almost the hours set for this. I have an entire day blocked out to take you on this date, to get food, go see Downton Abbey, and whatever else we intend to do around that time. And that you're okay with. But I ask your friend for her house address that we're going to in a month from now, and that makes me a psycho. You spoiled brat. You may continue now.
Well, nice to know that particular episode of Wedded Bliss in the Radulich household ended so well.
We love each other more and more every day.
I'm sure. So I will be watching some MLW after this wraps up. Friday, WWE SmackDown in the Wrestling Zone of 411 Mania. And Saturday, UFC 263. Two title fights and a five-round non-main event, non-title fight because screw it. It's a really good card, all things considered. You've got... Your main event is for the middleweight title, a rematch between Israel Adesanya and Marvin Vettori. A rematch for the flyweight title in one of the best fights of 2020, Davison Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno. And Nate Diaz is probably going to get his face carved up by the elbows of Leon Edwards.
I'll be watching Against All Odds. The Impact Plus pay-per-view, not the movie.
You know, this is one of those times I'm going to say you're making a mistake. I mean, you have to, because for some reason you decided to get looped into talking about Impact.
That one.
Which is a mistake. Like, just, you've got to stop that, man.
Blame Chris Bailey. He's the one that roped me into all this. Actually, it's half Chris Bailey and half Kenny Omega.
Well, Kenny Omega is a blight.
You done?
Well, I mean, unless you want a 20-minute diatribe about Kenny Omega. I mean,
I
could give you one.
I really don't. No, I mean, you don't with your plugs. I definitely don't want a 20-minute diatribe on Kenny Omega. I told you, I have a Judas contract to watch.
I also host the 411 Ground and Pound MMA podcast, if you're interested in the sport of mixed martial arts. That's available. Your best bet is Monday morning. I record it Sunday evenings. It's a lot of fun. I look at the wide, wacky, wonderful world of mixed martial arts. So if you're interested in that, come by, take a listen. Hopefully you enjoy and stick around, much like you do with this show and any other shows that we happen to do.
All right, you can check out Dr. Colossus on Amazon Music. It's a great service, one of the wonderful sponsors of our show here on the Radulogen Broadcasting Network, brought to you by W2M. Their catalog is on there, as well as many other stoner rock bands you've heard us talk about tonight, like Clutch, Corrosion of Conformity, Oakley Dokley, another Simpson-inspired band. So go ahead and click our link at getamazonmusic.com/W2M Network. That's getamazonmusic.com/W2M Network. Excuse me. /W2M Network. Sign up for the service for a month. Give it a try. Listen to Dr. Colossus. If you don't like the service, you can cancel it. No fuss, no muss. But if you do like it, you keep paying for it. You stream endless amounts of music. I can't tell you how much money I wasted buying albums at Tower Records and Sam Goody, because Goody gotcha, and all their places where, you know, and mom and pop shops from here or there on Long Island. If I had only had AmazonMusic.com back in 1994, then I would have saved myself so much money. I used to have a collection of over 1,000 CDs. I took up an entire wall of my apartment. It was my pride and joy. Now I can listen to millions of albums streamed, not taking up a single iota of space except on my computer, and not even my hard drive, because it's streamed, don't you understand? You can listen to it on your cell phone, on your Kindle, on your tablet. You can take it with you when you run to the bathroom or anywhere else. Streaming music, the best place to do it, the best service to do it with, is Amazon Music. And not to mention the fact that we here at the Radulogen Broadcasting Network, you might be listening to this on YouTube, you might be listening to this anywhere else, you are actually on Amazon Music. You can listen to all the podcasts you want, audiobooks. I mean, it's just endless. It's fantastic. So go ahead and click the link in the description page. Forget AmazonMusic.com/W2M Network and enjoy a free 30 days of Amazon Music on us. All right, that's it. That's our show. I want to thank Robert Winfrey for taking time out of his busy schedule, doing a paid job for 411, to spend his free time, and I do mean free, with me here on the Metal Hammer of Doom. Next week, Jesse returns. Until then, I'm Mark Rattledge. Be well, be safe, and behave.